Well, interim results from Purple Capital, the owner, 70% owner of Easy Equities, are, well, superb, but we'll get into that in a moment. Big turnaround on the bottom line, a very different picture to the one that shareholders did not enjoy that much 6 months ago. We're going to talk to the CEO, Charles Savage. Charles, I really love your CEO letters because you write them yourself. I can see that. And Warren Buffett's at his annual conference, I met a lady there called Rittenberg, and anyway, Rittenhouse rather. And she wrote a book about this where she said that only trust companies' CEOs when they actually write their own letters. And you can see it very easily. Yanni Mouton was one in South Africa who was outstanding at it. And you do it every year. And I guess it was interesting to me to read the part where you spoke in this interim results to the end of February of this being a defining year and that this set of financial results being transformative. Now, they're only for 6 months, so they're not for the full year. But maybe we can start there. It is 10 years in October since Easy Equities began. Is that what is nudging you towards describing this as a defining year, or is there more to it?
Look, it's certainly part of the story. And ever since we turned 9, I've kind of been had this anticipation around turning 10. I mean, I remember I've read too many startup books and know the storylines too well that very few startups ever get past that first decade. You know, that's the hard decade, if you like. I think it's less than 35%, and someone even quoted that less than 9% of startups get past 10 years. But it's a very small number, and that first decade is the hardest decade because you're starting with dreams and aspirations and no customers. So for me, it's big because it's what I've kind of dreamed about for the last decade, and reflecting on whether we've achieved our dreams. But then also personally, you know, I turned 50 last year. And so the 10-year anniversary and me turning 50 kind of coincides. I'm thinking about my next decade in a very different way to the way I thought about my last decade. And so I think it is it's a defining set of results, not just because they're a good set of results. I think they're a great set of results, but because it's a business that's kind of coming of age and I think can almost lose the startup tag now. And we can start talking about what this business might look like in 30, 40, 50, and 60 years, because right from the start, this was a business we built for the long term. It was a business that we wanted to scale alongside our customers' dreams and aspirations around their own wealth. And, you know, we both know that's a long-term game. There are no short-term wins. And I love writing these notes. They fill me with pride, but also give me some context and reflection, because when you're caught in the moment, it's easy to forget the journey and in understanding of the destination.
Isn't that so true? But transformative set of interim results. Now, that's not difficult to kind of understand, given that the last year results, when we spoke 6 months ago, you were showing, let me get the exact numbers, expenses up 32%, revenue flat. This set of results, expenses flat, revenue up 29%. So suddenly that crocodile jaws have not just closed, but actually reversed, and you go from a loss into a profit. It also shows how scalable your business has now become, because you bump up, if you get the jaws moving in the right direction, profitability becomes quite significant.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Alec. I mean, you know, if you'd watched the core value drivers, which sit outside the income statement, so assets, customers, registrations, average revenue per customer, cost to serve customer, those have always been moving in the right direction. You know, they've always been going up. It's now a decade of unbelievable numbers. In fact, I was reflecting on them. Over the last 5 years, our core value drivers are all above 60% compounded annual growth rate over the last 5 years. So, and if I do it over a decade, the numbers are, they're not worth saying because no one will believe them. But so the numbers have all been going the right way. But when you reflect on the income statement, that hasn't delivered to the income statement in the same time zone, time period. And fundamentally, that's a lesson for shareholders or in understanding our business model. You know, when somebody starts with us, they're at the least valuable in their economic journey to the group. And you can understand why. They start with the smallest amount of capital they've got and potentially the smallest amount of capital they will ever have. And so for the last decade, we've been acquiring 1 million customers. That's what we've got to. If we focus that down, in the last 5 years, we acquired 80% of all of our customers. So, you know, it got exponential. And so that we've had very little time for those customers to mature into being economically active and profitable customers. And suddenly they have matured. The business model has advanced. We've made some tweaks and changed the business model based on things we've seen, based on the cards that have been dealt to us in very tough economic times. And that's why I say that it's transformative, is that we've got to the end of a decade. We've seen all business cycles now, good, bad, indifferent, interest rates up, interest rates down. And in the result, we've constructed a business that I believe will be profitable in all business cycles now and has learned a lot from its customer base and their behaviors. And so, you know, these are really good results. And I don't want to be too bullish about them, but I do fundamentally believe these are the worst results we'll post over the next 2 to 3 years. And that's predicated on the insight is that we had no tailwinds that supported this turnaround. These were all strategic decisions that we took that played out well for us and ended up playing out in the income statement well for us. We had no economic tailwinds. We had no interest rate decline. We had no job growth. We had no GDP growth. We had no political stability. We had none of the things that businesses can't rely on but hope for in building a solid income statement. And I think we've got blue sky ahead. And I got that from your conference in a way that kind of blew my head back. You know, I walked away from your conference going, there's so much to look forward to. And I agree. I think there's so much to look forward to. So forging a good set of results, a transformative set of results in this year sets us up for a very strong 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years. How long will the next bull market last? Who knows? But, you know, traditionally they last 7 years. And so I do think it is a transformative set of results. I think it's the last time we'll post a set of losses for a long time to come.
How much of that, of the change in thinking, is more of an internal focus or a local South African focus? And I say this because when I read these interim results and the commentary, it's not a heck of a lot that's being said about the Philippines. Whereas when we spoke in the past, it was almost not all about the Philippines, but that appeared to have grabbed the team at Easy Equities, that the Philippines was going to be the next big thing.
Yeah. You know, and I've got to take responsibility for this because I'm an optimist, and I'm always looking for the next challenge and opportunity for the group beyond the ones that we're already working on. And that sometimes gives the impression that that's what the business is doing. You know, the business, 80, 90% of the team are just focused on the rails that we've laid down, the products that we've built, the partnerships and the platform. And so they spend their days working on the business. And so it's their work that has resulted in these good sets of results. My job is to see further than the current economics of the income statement. My job is to ensure that beyond the next 3, 5, 10 years, there are rails for growth that will survive the South African story, that will give credit to what we've built that is greater than just winning the Curry Cup every year, that gives us the opportunity to win the World Cup. And so Philippines is our opportunity beyond the South African opportunity. And that's not to say that South Africa is going to go X growth. You know, we're just a little business in a very big market. And I've got no doubt that we're creating the next Sanlam, the next Investec, the next Old Mutual. And so the rails for growth in South Africa are 10, 20, 40, 50x from where they are today. But it's always been my objective to prove that Easy Equities is good enough to play in another market space. And so perhaps I've talked too much about the Philippines. It's still an extraordinary opportunity whose time will come. You know, we've spent a lot of money there. We've built a team on the ground. We've got a business on the ground. We've got the best possible partnership we could ever have in GCash. And one day we will take our products live in that marketplace. And when we do, we get access to 80 million customers at the click of a button. I mean, it's just an extraordinary opportunity. It's been frustratingly slow and difficult to do. But I guess, you know, I'm always, the more difficult it is, the more valuable the opportunity. Because if it was easy, somebody else would have already done it. And so I guess one of my weaknesses is how naive I am at chasing these opportunities. And reflecting on Easy Equities, you know, if I'd known all of the difficulties that were going to stack up in front of me in building Easy Equities, was I ever going to start Easy Equities? I probably wouldn't. Somebody would have cautioned me to say, don't do it. And then where would we be today? Where would the Purple Group? We'd be nowhere if we hadn't started Easy Equities. And I feel exactly the same way about the Philippines. My naivety sees the opportunity and grabs it with both hands and says, let's go and do this. And let's not try and talk ourselves out of it. We'll find a way. We'll get in there and we'll, you know, get into the arena and start fighting for our right to be in that market. And it's just going to take longer than we expected. But one day we'll go live, and we'll go live to 80 million customers in a marketplace that is digitally so ready for us. But I don't want that to dissuade from what I said about the South African business. You know, when people see the South African business, they've got to look at it and go, this could be the next Sunlam. This could be the next Investec. This could be the next Old Mutual, because none of those businesses, none of them can boast about a million clients. None of them can say that the average age of their customers are 32. None of them can say that their customers are just at the start of their economic journey. You know, if you think about your career, Alec, you know, and mine as well, we started to become economically active or valuable in our early 30s. And then that became exponential over our 30s into our 40s. And then, you know, as we get to my age and your age, we start that economic activity starts to drop. But we've captured the most economically active and most valuable cohort in South Africa. And they are earning the least they're ever going to earn. And that, when you consider that, the collective power of the scalable of these million customers and their earnings that are going to scale, then if you look far into the future, you can see why I believe this will surpass the Investec, Sunlam's, and Old Mutual's over the next decades. Not tomorrow, you know, not in next year's income statement, but certainly, you know, in the next decade. So, and these results, I think, put a pin in or a line in the sand to the doubters that said we couldn't create a profitable business out of servicing their financial, their investment needs. Because we are. In the last decade, we're not just servicing their investment needs anymore. We've got Easy Crypto, we've got Easy Properties, we've got Rise. We've just launched our first insurance product. Imagine if we get that right. And we've also just launched our first credit product. So we're starting to look a lot more like a combination of Sunlam and Investec Bank rather than one or the other. And we've got a million engaged customers that we can take on this journey at the age from the start age of 32, and hopefully retain them. And it's our responsibility to make sure we retain them and service them until they're 62 and they retire profitably.
That's so interesting. Do you do any projections? And I know it's as an entrepreneur, and when you look back on the exponential growth that you've had, it must be a little daunting to do that because the numbers can look just ridiculous. But do you ever sit down and say, okay, at the current rate of growth, and I know in your financial statements, you do look at those cohorts, as you call them, the guys who came on this year and then the year before and the year before that, and how they're contributing to the future. But do you ever allow yourself the luxury of looking ahead maybe 5 to 10 years and saying, that's what this business is going to look like at that point in time? And if you do, could you share any of that with us?
Yeah, there's, you know, it's easy to be misled by the numbers because the averages don't tell the story. And what I mean by that is, if you're looking through the averages, then on average, everyone's been on the platform for 5 years because we're 10 years old, right? And the truth is, the real magic actually sits at looking really far back. So the first customers that joined, what is the economic growth that they've experienced? And when I say economic growth, their own NAVs and assets under management, and then what benefit has that created for us over a decade? And the number that stands out for me, which is the number that I think people need to hear and need to understand and need to believe, is that on average, people who've been with us for more than 7 or 8 years compound their value to us at over 25% year on year. So there's this intrinsic growth rate that is compounding at 25% year on year in terms of the assets and value of our customer base on our platform. And that's the number that I think is the key one for people to use to predict what assets we could have, how big this platform could become, and what potentially what economics could be derived from that. And the only caution I would add to that is you've got to see through the economic cycle. So you can't say, you can't bet against it for a year or with it for a year. You've got to say, over the next decade, if history repeats itself, this platform should, by virtue of its customer behavior, not its own science or intelligence or strategy, by virtue of its customer behavior, this business should compound at 25% year on year for a decade. And that's, it's almost unbelievable when I say it out loud. But let me unpack it into the two parts that drive that value. The first is markets. South African markets over the last decade have averaged a 12% return year on year. So you've got this intrinsic force in the market that says if you invested in the market, your assets are going to grow 12% over a decade year on year. Now, you and I both know that's a pretty poor decade. South Africa over the long term is actually closer to 15, 16%. So if we get some, you know, some, if we get the political stability and a good elections, who knows, we might get stronger growth. But take 12% and write that down. The other 13% comes from the customer's savings behavior. And so they are adding 13% to their assets by stealing from their own income statement, so taking from their earnings. And that's the, they've done that now for a decade. And those are the two forces that are ensuring that we've got this 25% compounded growth rate on assets, which eventually translate into revenue. So, you know, it's such an exciting business to be part of, but it's so long-term in its construction that my only regret is, what's it going to look like? I can predict what I think it looks like in the next 10 years, and I think I'll get it 60, 70% right. What I can't predict because is, what does it look like 40, 50 years from now? And that, I think it's going to be a monster. It's going to be, it's going to have more assets than any other business has ever had before in financial markets. It's going to have more customers and more access to products. And so that's the thing I can't predict. But for the next decade, I think you can write it down and say, you know, this, they will grow at 25%. Their customers will grow. Their assets will grow at 25% year on year over a decade. And then what's the economic growth that is associated with that asset growth? You know, it's not 25%, but it's not 12%. It's somewhere kind of between those two numbers. So very exciting position to be in. And our responsibility is to not to get arrogant with it, is to, you know, stay attentive to our clients' needs and wants and make sure we keep delivering to them so they pay significant attention to the competitive landscape and make sure that we keep investing in new products and services that keep our moat wider. And then importantly, keep paying tribute to our customers. It's on their shoulders that this business is built. There's no business without them. And I'm extraordinarily grateful for all of their contributions. The 1 rand customer to the 100 million rand customer, each of them are equal in our eyes and play a significant role in helping us build this platform into the future.
And lots of parallels in what we're trying to do with our business. So I get it. I really get it. And I've always got it, I think, what you're achieving there. The market doesn't always understand. But surely after this set of financial results, which is showing that it's not a flash in the pan, that actually you can turn things around with relatively small amounts of adjustments. It reminds me of in our business portfolio when we bought Amazon 10 years ago now, almost. And I remember at the time people were saying, you know, will Amazon ever make money? Well, it's gone up 20x since then. And I suppose that is the future, but it's often hard for the CEO to believe it. But I want to just close off this discussion by referring back to an interview that I read recently with the founder of TSMC, the Taiwanese chip maker. He's now in his 90s, and he founded it, well, in the beginning. They call it the mountain in Taiwan because it's almost like their defense mechanism. The whole world relies on TSMC to produce chips, so they're not going to let the Chinese invade it and destroy it. And he said he's as an entrepreneur, he actually started, in fact, in his 50s. He said that he got better and better and better as he was older. What about you? You're now 50, as you say, you talk about being 50 versus 40 when you started it. Are you getting better at this, at running a business?
Look, and I hope the people around me said I am. But I tell you what's made me better, is, in my view, is that I'm more attentive to the data. I'm more attentive to our customers. You know, there was an arrogance in youth that made me believe that I had the answers that other people didn't. You know, and the truth is, your customers have the answer. You need to ask them. And Easy Equities is a definition of exactly that. I mean, how did we come up with Easy Equities? I asked my kids and my wife, why is it that you've never invested? And their answer was, you've made it so complex, we don't feel that we can partake. It's too sophisticated. It's too intimidating. And, you know, my only regret is I didn't ask that question 30 years ago, because we'd be in a different place today. So I think I am getting better at it, but it's simply because I'm being less arrogant and more attentive to actually understanding what my clients' needs and wants are through the data, through the surveys, and not sitting in boardrooms trying to construct products that I thought as a youngster the whole world needed.
Humility. Wow. Well, it's a little bit like what Socrates said. The beginning of wisdom is starting to say, I know nothing. And as a consequence, if I know nothing, I better listen to what other people are telling me. And that way, I can produce a great company. Second half of the financial year, Charles, are you looking to repeat these numbers? Or when you said earlier, this is probably going to be your worst set of financial results, maybe you can elaborate on that?
Yeah, look, interest rates are going to play an integral part in the second half. You know, I think, and not necessarily the fact that they're going to go down, that they're going down, but potentially that they are, that the you know, the signals are there that they will go down. So that's the only unknown in it. The income statement, you know, the momentum that we've driven into this set of results continues. And, you know, I'll just give out one number that kind of demonstrates that. We set 3 all-time records in this last 6 months. It's the biggest 6 months of revenue ever for Easy Group. It's the biggest quarter we've ever had for Easy Group. And we also deposited in terms of revenue, and we also had the biggest deposit month ever in February at over R1 billion of deposits. Those 3 numbers are quite extraordinary if you consider the market environment we find ourselves in, which is still very tough. And so when I look forward, the blue sky is starting to surface. And so I think we will replicate the set of results. And I think there's going to be more blue sky over the next 6 months. And in March, we had another R1 billion month. So, you know, February was followed up in March by R1 billion month in terms of deposits. So I'm super positive that in the final result, we're going to post a really good set of results, and that, you know, the market's going to be, you know, happy with what we produce. My focus is almost already on, so what about next year? You know, I feel like we've had a really good start. We've built really good momentum, and that'll deliver into both income statements, both half years, the full year. And I'm starting to think, okay, well, what do we need to do next year? I think I say this with confidence. I'm in the best place I've ever been with this business personally. I feel that the business is more robust for the storms. It's now sailed and navigated a storm for the first time. You know, 28 months since our first interest rate hike, which signaled in the storm. I've always said I've learned more in hard times than I've learned in good times, and that's no different this time. We've learned an incredible amount in the last 28 months. We've applied those lessons with agility into our business model. And so I can sit here at the end of the storm and look forward to some, you know, blue sky, but also safe in the knowledge that I'm not scared of the next storm. So I look forward to the next results.
Charles Savage, Chief Executive of the Purple Group, and he was one of the star keynote speakers at BizNews' BNC6 conference in Hermanus. Lovely. Thank you for your contribution there too, Charles, and look forward to the next installment in an exciting story. And we as BizNews are part of this ride. Purple Capital is in the BizNews portfolio. We've had our ups and downs, But as every month, when we do a recap of why are you still holding on to Purple, I give the story that you sometimes the market doesn't quite appreciate the value of exponentially growing companies, but eventually it does come through. I'm Alec Hogg from business.com.